coming up on August episode of The Candid Connection. Andrew takes a minute to talk about what's been happening in Michigan as legislators have been spending their time back in districts for their in-district work period. We also take a look at what's been happening in D.C., and that includes the large infrastructure package that the Senate has been considering and would be looking to vote over to the House that happened earlier here in August. And so there are some impacts on healthcare and how that's going to affect those that are working in healthcare or are receiving health insurance through the ACA. So more on that. This month, we're excited to welcome April Brown, who's the Director of Concierge Services at Karmanos Cancer Institute, along with Director of Health and Human Services, Elizabeth Hertel. As both guests, we talk about how COVID-19 has really affected cancer screening, what they've been seeing either on a state level or down at a local level at Karmanos. And we chat a little bit about tobacco use and how we can look to combat some possible increased rates for folks using tobacco. We're also excited this month to welcome Ashley Hall, who is our new grassroots manager here in Michigan. Ashley is joining the Candid Connection this month, and we get a little chance to sit down and chat with her and learn more about her and really get her welcomed into the program. I'm Andrew Sheppers, and this is the Candid Connection, brought to you by Karmanos Cancer Institute and McLaren Healthcare, the largest provider of cancer care and research in the state. Welcome, everyone, to the Candid Connection for August. Again, I am Andrew Sheppers, and we thank you for joining us today. A lot of stuff going on in this episode, and you know that we're actually coming to you a little bit late. We took some time this summer and spent time with friends and family and kind of got away from work for a little bit. And so we're coming to you late, but yet have a great show today. We're really excited about it. I'm going to get into a little bit some updates on a state and federal level in terms of where things are at with some of the issues we're working on. We have a special permanent guest who's going to be joining us today. We're really excited about that. And then, we've got a great conversation with the Director of Health and Human Services, Elizabeth Hertel, coming up a little bit later in our program, really kind of talking about how COVID's really affected how they do their work and how they kind of move forward from here, especially with cancer patients and how we're really addressing getting folks back to screening or helping those quit tobacco. So let's get into it here a little bit. On a state level, I can tell you things are very quiet. We still continue to wait to see if the legislature and the governor can come to an agreement on the budget. Everyone knows, of course, our timeline here is September 30, and so we'll be watching here over the next, month and a half now, if they can find that budget resolution before the state essentially runs out of money on September 30th. So included in that, of course, is our ask for $200,000 for the tobacco prevention line. And that's really there to shore up that quit line that folks call and are looking for some support to quit. So we're still continuing following that, staying on top of that, and ensuring that we're going to see some efforts with that move forward. Secondly, we talk a little bit about oral chemo fairness, or House Bill 4354 is a piece of legislation we've been working on since the first of the year, and we've talked about that a little bit here on the show, past shows, but now that we're getting into mid to late August, volunteers are now starting to do some reach out to our folks in the Senate who are in the health policy committees. And so just kind of bringing the issue back up on their radar and making sure that once we get back from break and we really start up again in September, that this is one of the policy issues that folks can be talking about while they're trying to figure out the what's going to happen with the budget. So, but that is really it for a state level. When we move into the federal side, there's been some action and actually some exciting action around the president's infrastructure bill. And of course, in that also includes money for and support for issues that are important to cancer patients. If you can actually believe it, when you think about infrastructure, you really think about roads and electric grids and things of that nature. You know, what they're also throwing into infrastructure is really human infrastructure, right? So paid family leave, expansion of the Affordable Care Act, filling in the Medicaid coverage gap and other things like that. And so those are our bread and butter issues where we kind of live and die here on the federal level. And so we're very excited to see that, you know, with this infrastructure package that now the Senate has, you know, put together and has taken some action on, you know, we're really going to be focusing on some of those issues like paid family leave, expanding the Affordable Care Act, but also talking about health equity, ensuring that everyone has access to the treatment that's proper for them. You know, trying to get ready for a pandemic again. None of us, I think, would have seen ourselves being in this position where we are today, you know, 2-3 years ago. And so really making sure that we're focusing on some of those issues, but a lot of other issues as well that really affect our daily lives in terms of healthcare and issues that are very important to ECSCan moving forward. So, you know, stay tuned. We expect hopefully when we come back next month, our next guest here is going to be able to provide us some information on what's been happening with that, and you know, where that package is in the process. So, just one kind of quick tidbit here. Also, it is Lights of Hope season here for our volunteers in Michigan. And so they've been doing some great work reaching out and you know, really, you know, selling bags, raising money for ACSCan, but I think more importantly, providing people the opportunity to really, you know, memorialize their loved ones, think of them, you know, show their continued love and support for either family members who have had cancer and won the battle, or those friends and family that aren't here with us today. And so they've been doing some great work there in terms of helping to raise funds to ensure that we can continue our fight to find more money for research to make sure those treatments and cures can come sooner. And so, you know, for those that are interested, head to fightcancer.org/lightsofhope to go ahead and find out about the program. I know once we get into September, you know, on September 18th, it is our Lights of Hope Around America. And so really our opportunity to highlight all the work that our volunteers have done, but really also take a minute to think of our loved ones you know, really memorialize them and show them our support. And so again, that's September 18th, Lights of Hope Across America. And you can find more information on that at fightcancer.org/lightsofhope. All right. So that now moves us into our first guest for our show today. And so I think all of you know that you've been watching or listening over the past few months that my co-pilot chair has really been empty. And Ashley Wakefield, who was our grassroots manager here in Michigan, was given a wonderful opportunity And for her and her career and her family. And so, of course, she moved on and we're extremely happy for her. But now we're very excited in that we have found our new grassroots manager here in Michigan. And so joining me today, it's an easy name to remember. It's Ashley Hall. Ashley, how are you today? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Andrew. So happy to be here.
Yes, I am so happy you're here too. I can tell you that. And you know, it's been a long few months without having a co-pilot here in Michigan. And so we're so happy you're on board, Ashley. And you know, welcome to the team.
Thank you, and
I think that you know, when you probably went through the process, being on a podcast probably wasn't in the job description. So we appreciate you taking the time. But you know, why don't you share with everyone, Ashley, kind of, you know, where you're coming from and kind of your background, and then really just, you know, why ACS Can and why joining our merry band of ruffians here in Michigan was appealing to you.
Absolutely. Well, you're right. Hosting a podcast was not in the job description, but it's actually really exciting. I love listening to podcasts, so this is a fun little surprise for me. So I'm joining ACS CAN from the American Cancer Society side of things. So I've been working there since January of 2020, doing development work, mostly working on some network fundraising campaigns like our Real Men Wear Pink campaign, where we identify, you know, community leaders to raise money for breast cancer in the month of October.
Okay.
So that was a very fun experience. And prior to my time at ACS, I actually spent some time working in the Michigan political world.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So when this position came available, the former Ashley Wakefield gave me a call knowing my background. And she said, you know, I think you should really think about this. So I'm very grateful to her for kind of getting me connected and plugged in. And, you know, I see this position really as a great kind of bridge of all of my former experiences. But, you know, obviously the cancer advocacy and mission is very near and dear to my heart. We've all lost someone or know someone with cancer.
Yep.
So, you know, working on cancer advocacy issues at the state and federal level is something that I'm just really honored and excited to jump into.
Well, we're excited and honored that you chose us too. So, it truly is an opportunity to really kind of get your hands involved in whether you want to say the magic or the sausage or however you want to put it, the ways to form public policy and really kind of make that change for cancer patients. And so, no, we're just super excited you're here. And, you know, just, I know that Ashley raved about you and she told me that you need to find a way to get Ashley on your team. And I'm like, are you just saying I should choose Ashley because she's the same name?
Easy transition.
Yeah. And she's like, no, absolutely. But that is, it's a very nice transition. And I said, yes, it is. So, well, I know from all of us and everyone I've heard from our volunteer corps here, they're excited that you're on board. I know that, you know, other teammates from around our region and around the country are excited you're on board too. So, and I'm just looking forward to having you here on the show and going through our interviews and providing updates for folks on things happening in the cancer world here. So welcome. And we're excited you're here.
Yes. Very excited to be here. I can't wait to dig into these conversations with you and, you know, kind of get my hands dirty, as we all like to say, in this advocacy world. So very excited to be here.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, we're excited for our next guest today. You know, COVID-19 has really had an impact on just kind of how we've gone through our daily lives, let alone, you know, getting groceries, sending kids to school. But let's also talk about going to the doctor, right? And knowing that a lot of the screenings maybe we should have had, we may have taken a pass on. or maybe we've picked up some bad habits that now, you know, we need some help to work on those. And so, you know, joining us today is April Brown, and she's the director of the concierge service at the Carmanos Cancer Institute. And April's been seeing a lot of this stuff, hopefully folks coming back in and getting screened again. So, you know, April, thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking some time out of your day.
Thank you, Andrew, for having me on today.
Yeah, so let's kind of get into it and talking about, you know, COVID-19 has really been, or has really taken a kind of a huge wallop to everyone, I think, in terms of how our lives have moved forward. And so, you know, for us here at the Cancer Society, you know, COVID has really affected folks from going in and getting screened. And so have you seen an impact at Carmanos in terms of patients not coming in to get screened during the pandemic? And you know, since the vaccine has now kind of entered the arena, have you seen screening start to pick up again?
Well, absolutely. We have definitely seen a decline on the onset of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And individuals were not coming in to get their cancer screenings. Throughout the cancer hospital and our network, we actually saw a 17% decrease from the previous year of our cancer screenings throughout. And so we definitely are encouraging individuals and trying to get the word out of the importance of screening to the community. So definitely saw a decline. However, now that the vaccine has been in place, we have seen an increase. But we are nowhere near where we should be right now.
Gotcha. Well, and you know, this pandemic, I think, is something that none of us ever thought we'd find ourselves in, you know? Yeah. And so it's really kind of put that monkey wrench into everything. But I know that there are some other barriers as well. And so what are some of those other barriers now that we've got vaccine? You know, folks are feeling a little more protected against COVID-19. What are some of those other barriers that patients are facing?
Well, Andrew, I would say that actually, I believe the biggest barrier is COVID-19 itself.
Okay.
People are just fearful of coming in to any place right now, fearful to go to the grocery stores, let alone talk about coming to the cancer hospital to do something that I could possibly put off. And so I believe that is the number one barrier that we see at Carmanos right now. But we know that it is so important for individuals to get in and to get their screenings done on a timely manner, because the sooner you get your screening, we know that screening saves lives, basically.
Yeah.
And so the other barrier that we see is that people are just fearful in general. Cancer is a very fearful word, and people are scared.
Yeah.
People are scared to come in and hear that they've been diagnosed with cancer. And so they're just afraid to come in. But the more information that we can get out into the community to talk about how early detection saves lives, then the better that we'll be. And so that's why I'm so thankful for this podcast and all the other things that are out there in our community to educate the patients on the need and the urgency to actually come in and get screened. And then I think the other barrier that individuals face is the lack of knowledge. Yeah. A lot of patients and individuals just do not know what screenings are out there and are available. You know, everybody knows about breast cancer and a mammogram. Mm-hmm. You know, can talk about that and they know about that. But there are other screenings that need to also take place. And so I encourage the viewers to go and call up your doctor, talk to your primary care physician and ask them, what screenings do I qualify right now for? And if you don't have a primary care physician, Carmanos definitely can still get you in to be screened for certain screenings that we do at Carmanos. But it is important that our patients know that it's important. You know, the other thing is that individuals need to know that Carmanis is a safe environment, that we are following all CDC guidelines. You're doing the masking, we're doing social distancing. Yep. We are doing constant cleaning and sanitizing so people can feel comfortable coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know, we need to get a lot of folks back in and be screened. I mean, we've heard a lot of anecdotal stories from folks that we serve that they've been very hesitant. And so it's great to hear that Carmanis is taking those steps along with the other healthcare providers here in Michigan in terms of making sure it's a safe environment. I want to step back for just a second. You mentioned about educating about different types of screenings. And so, a lot of folks know about mammograms, right? I mean, we do a great job talking about mammograms. But what are some of those other screenings that Carmanis is offering in terms of for folks in terms of trying to detect that cancer early?
Sure. We have colorectal screening where you have a colonoscopy that's done in an outpatient procedure. And for those individuals that qualify, there is the in-home testing that can be done as well. We have our cervical cancer screenings with the pap smear and HPV testing. We have our lung screening that is available for individuals that qualify for that screening. So, and of course, there are a number of other screenings that are out there, you know, with your primary care physician, they will do PSA testing and skin testing and things like that as well.
Mm-hmm. No, so, and it's a great point that you brought up lung screening and lung cancer screening. And so that kind of gets us into, well, second part I kind of want to go on, and that's really talking about tobacco, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that tobacco use, I think, unfortunately, maybe some of us, maybe a lot of us maybe picked up a bad habit over the pandemic, knowing that it can be a very stressful time for individuals. And so we know that, you know, tobacco use may be one of those. And so with folks that you're serving at Carmanis, are you finding folks that maybe coming in and looking for some help, you know, especially when they're going through maybe some of these screenings and maybe tobacco may be involved or maybe looking to find some help to quit?
Well, actually, I'm experiencing very few individuals that are opting to quit smoking.
Okay.
As you stated, because of the pandemic, the stress of COVID-19 in itself has heightened everyone. And people are actually, some reports are stating that people are indulging not just in the tobacco usage, but the other things as well, alcohol and all of that, because of the stress of the pandemic. So, of course, Carmanis does offer resources for individuals that are looking to quit smoking. We do have our education department that will speak with individuals, as well as resources that are available at Carmanis.org, or individuals can call 1-800-CARMANIS and we would share that information with them.
Well, that's great to know. That was actually my last question. It's all these great things that Carmanis has to offer. Again, if you're looking to to find some of these services, head to Carmanis.org or call 1-800-CARMANIS, and they'll be there to assist you. And maybe you'll have the opportunity to speak with April when you call in. So, well, April, thank you so much for joining us today. We really do appreciate you coming in and taking the time. And it's great to hear what's happening on the ground and know that there is support out there for folks. And you know what? Get screened, right? Go in and, you know, go in and see April, head to Carmanis.org, get your services scheduled there or call in and get some help. So, April, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Have a great day.
Yep, you too. Well, here after the break, we're going to have Director Elizabeth Hertel from the Department of Health and Human Services, and we're going to be finding out what they've been doing during COVID-19 and how that's really affected how they're offering services here in Michigan. Stay with us back on the break. This is the Candid Connection. ACS CAN Michigan is excited to announce its 2021 policy forum, The Faces of Cancer, where we're going to take a look at access issues that cancer patients are facing here in Michigan. Our forum will be on September 30th, 2021, from noon to 1 Eastern, and is a virtual event. We're excited to welcome our keynote speaker as well, Dr. Sabrina Ford from Michigan State University. She's going to share insight on her research and what she's seen in terms of barriers of access for folks here in Michigan. We hope you can join us. Head to fightcancer.org/MIFaces to get more information or register today. Welcome back. So COVID has really kind of changed how we've gone through our lives here, especially at ACS CAN, and I think for everyone over the past several years. Our next guest has been somebody who's been on the front line of dealing with how all our world has changed and kind of what that looks like. And so we're excited to welcome Director Elizabeth Hertel from the Department of Health and Human Services here in Michigan with us today. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you taking a few minutes today.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So, COVID has definitely changed how we operate. As you can see behind me, everyone gets the opportunity to see the inside of my den and all the schoolwork I have hanging behind us for having at home school this year. But COVID's really changed the lives for everybody. And so how has it really changed, how the department has really approached their work and especially around prevention?
It certainly was a challenge at the beginning of the pandemic, as it was for everyone, figuring out how to transition into a virtual workspace as opposed to what we had been used to. Being able to work with and interface with people in person, moving a lot of our programs, prevention and other service programs, into virtual environments so that we could continue to offer services and support to people. But I will say I am incredibly impressed and proud of the work that the department and all of our partners did to continue to offer many of those services and support programs just in a different way to the people that we're working with.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I know on our end, we spent a lot of time, having meetings like this with folks that were looking for services or support or whatnot moving through. And so I totally get that. And I know that, being able to work with your department over the past year and a half, it's been a lot of this, and a lot of it has been very, very successful. So thank you for all of that hard work. As we kind of move now out of COVID, one of the big things that we're really concerned about is that, some of our patients have really been home and maybe haven't had their screening or haven't seen their doctors or anything. And so, what's kind of the plan for the department here to kind of help people get back in to see their doctor again, or maybe get those mammograms or get those colonoscopies or really start to do some of those screenings again? And how can we partner with you to kind of help promote some of that stuff?
I certainly applaud your efforts on getting that message out to people to get in, get their preventive screening, see their physicians. What I know anecdotally is that there were many healthcare providers who've said they're seeing people later in the process because people are concerned, going into the doctor, going into the hospital. And what I would say to people is it's safe. Those healthcare providers have taken all the precautions that they need to keep their patients safe and healthy. So to continue to go in, get those screenings, make sure that you're speaking to your primary care physician. And one of the things that we really saw, I think, that was a benefit from this pandemic is the increased use of telemedicine. And so if people have the ability to connect with their providers, at least initially, through a telemedicine portal, then set up those appointments and see if you do need that in-person follow-up. If you have some barriers to being able to access that sort of care, reach out to our offices or other stakeholders, partners like you, to see how we can help provide support so that they can have that sort of interaction if they are concerned about going in person to see their providers, but certainly don't let that care, accessing that care lapse. Make sure that you continue to go see those providers and get the care that people need.
Yeah, no, you bring up a great point, and folks looking for resources, is your website a real good place to go?
I think it's a good start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good start. And in fact, what we have most of our key things, I think, would be on our coronavirus page. So michigan.gov/coronavirus. And we have a lot of resources available there for people.
Awesome. Great. Well, stick with us. We're going to be back here in just a minute. We're going to kind of stick on this COVID-19, but really kind of get into tobacco a little bit. Again, here with Director Hertel talking about how COVID's really affected the state. Stay with the Canada Connection. We'll be back here in 30 seconds.
At Carmanis, we specialize in providing cancer care that you can't get anywhere else. Because we're home to one of the largest clinical trials programs in the country, only Carmanis can give you access to more than 250 of the most innovative and promising cancer treatments available. And with locations across Michigan and virtual visits, we offer easy and safe access to the expertise and guidance of your cancer team. We do all of this for one reason, to give you your best chance.
Welcome back. We're going to continue our conversation here with Director Hertel. So we talked about screening and really getting back. I think one of the real big things that may have happened a little bit, knowing that a pandemic can be somewhat stressful, you know, people turn to using tobacco and really maybe had a hard time, you know, maybe walking away. You know, do you feel like the pandemic has really kind of affected those that have been looking to quit in terms of maybe being able to find some help?
You know, we don't have hard data on that, whether or not that's actually been the case. But I think anecdotally, everyone was working to cope the best that they could with what we were experiencing over the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. I think what's important, especially when it comes to the state resources for quitting tobacco, you know, our number one resource is our quit line. So it is a phone call, you know, to provide support, to get materials through the mail, to make sure that people have the resources that we know are helpful in helping people quit using tobacco. So continuing to access those resources for people in that method is going to be a really effective way in providing supports to stop using that as a coping mechanism through the pandemic.
I know, and you know, that's, you know, when we talk about supporting the quit line, that's been an issue for us you know, for the past several years, just to ensure that, you know, it continues to get the support, because we know it is a valuable resource here in Michigan. But you know, as we talked about screening before and getting people back, you know, kind of what direction do you feel the department will play now, and maybe some programs? I know that the governor has worked on some rules to kind of ban flavors for e-cigarettes. But, you know, what do you really see in the future in terms of as we address tobacco, understanding, you know, we are in Tobacco Nation, a high utilizer of these products. But, you know, where do you see the department going in terms of trying to maybe tackle some of those issues here in the future, kind of as we come out of the pandemic?
We're continuing to work on the prevention of vaping, specifically targeting young people, but in general, the flavors. I think that's really important, mm-hmm. to make sure that we maintain that, trying to make permanent rules. I know that there currently is legislation out there about it as well, and we've been talking to the bill sponsors there to make those baselines permanent. Obviously very supportive of Tobacco 21 and raising the age for individuals to be able to purchase. And I think in general, just ensuring that we continue to send the message about the risks that come with tobacco utilization and targeting the younger population to prevent people from even getting started.
Yeah, no, it's key. I know for us, you know, when we look at flavors, we want to focus on all flavors of all tobacco products, right? I think it's, you know, you see a lot of bounce back from one product to the other. So we're definitely hoping to get there. And then, you know, really focusing on ensuring we can maybe look at retailers and maybe doing some licensing around that and maybe some other issues around that too. But, you know, so we've talked about prevention and screening. We've talked about some of the issues around tobacco. You know, as you roll out for 2021, 2022, some of your strategies kind of as we're coming out of this pandemic, you know, one of the things we always talk about at ACS CAN and at ACS is that cancer doesn't care who you are. You know, you'll be affected by it in some way, shape or form, and knowing that what may be good for me is not good for you. And so, you know, how is health equity and kind of looking at some of those disparity questions really kind of ingrained maybe in some of your strategies as you move forward?
Looking at our strategies and our policies through an equity lens has been traditionally very important in the department, mm-hmm. but was really exacerbated over the last year when we saw the actual realities of what those disparities can result in when it comes to mortality through a virus like COVID-19 and what we saw in Detroit and other areas that are potentially underserved or have a higher percentage of minorities. And we've really refocused our efforts on the equity of our policies and making sure that we're reaching areas that maybe need more assistance or more focus with the policies and programs that we have in place. We will continue that focus in all of our programs. It was very evident even when we started with the distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine and making sure that those areas had access to the vaccine that we knew could have potentially more severe outcomes from COVID-19. And that will continue through all of our programs, cancer prevention, and other health factors, our focus on infant mortality, and housing, food access, all of those elements that we know go into making a healthy person outside of just the doctor's office, and making sure that our focus, along with our stakeholder partner focus, remains on increasing equity and access to programs.
Well, that all sounds like exciting stuff. And I know that we are right there with you. So if there's any way that we can help, please let us know. But joining us today is the Director of the Health and Human Services Department here in Michigan, Elizabeth Hertel. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes today. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you too. Hopefully in person sometime soon.
Coming up here soon. I know it. I know it's going to happen.
Yep. So, well, again, joining us, Director Elizabeth Hertel from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Well, that concludes our episode here in August. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you taking some time out of your day to hear what's happening here at ACS CAN and what's been happening in terms of cancer policy here in Michigan and around the country. So join us in September, where Ashley will be co-hosting with me. She'll be on officially for our next episode, and the Michigan legislature will be back in session. And so we'll be talking about what's been happening there and what could be happening for the rest of September. And also we'll be taking a few minutes to preview our Leadership Summit and Lobby Day. Yes, that is coming at the end of September. So we'll take a few minutes to kind of preview what will be happening there and chat with some folks in terms of what that day could look like. So thanks again for joining us again, Andrew Sheppers. We appreciate you taking some time today. Have a great day, and we'll see you in September.